What's up, y'all? It's Gavin or Tweet.
What's good? What's good? It's Marcus or Pink.
What up? What up? It's Charles or Chuck.
What's going on? You got Matt or Has bringing it in. We got all four of us in the building. Can we give it up for that just real quick? It's been a minute since we've had all four of us. W's all around. It's good to see all three of you. Marcus. Okay, I'm going to ask Charles how he's doing first. Charles, what's going on? It's so sunny near you. How are you doing?
Yes, sunny and beautiful Hawaii. We had a little bit of rain this morning, but yeah, everything's been going good. Just been really busy with work. I almost had to work today, but it was a holiday, so materials didn't come in. So W can be here for the podcast, and yeah, excited to talk about Smash. What about you, Gav?
I'm all right. What? Did I cut out immediately?
No. Just the idea of you talking about. Never mind. Go ahead.
It's all good.
I'm chilling. I have a couple tournaments coming up on this upcoming Thursday. Y'all will be watching this on Wednesday. So on Thursday, I will be traveling to Cirque. And then there's also Let's Make Moves Miami shortly after that. So just preparing for all that. Mm. What's up, Marcus?
What? Those tournaments got rivals at it, or?
I know you're thinking about rivals right now. That's what I was laughing at.
I just booted it up for the first time before we
made
went
us
live.
Watch him play his first ranked match ever. We are late recording the podcast. We had to watch Gavin play Loxodon.
Okay, but
okay, you won.
You won
2-0, clean victory.
Start of his rivals career. Great. Y'all are here. Y'all are here for it. You all get to bear witness.
No, y'all aren't gonna see it until I'm like clean with it.
Bro is just gonna show up at an event and win.
Yeah, I'm not letting anyone witness until I'm clean.
Maybe that's Patreon content, actually. So how are you doing, Marcus?
I'm great. Our car should be fixed next week, so we should get it back Monday. So that's cool. And I had a pretty good weekend. I took my wife. We went to a Tori Kelly concert for her birthday. It was incredible. As it usually is. It's our third time seeing her, so it was cool. It was cool.
It's great.
All right, bring it in, Has.
All right. I'm doing good. Thanks for asking, guys. But I'd be doing better if I had some Patreon content from Tweak Talks in my life. All right, guys. Patreon.com/TweakTalks. This week, I'm actually really excited about this topic. We're going to be talking about, I feel like recently in Ultimate, there have been characters outperforming where we thought they lived, you know, in the tier list. Ryu winning in a major tournament over in Japan. And we'll be talking about King K. Rool today, which I'm ready to talk about some King K. Rool in my backyard, New England, making things happen 2 weekends in a row. Shout out to my region. So we're excited to talk about characters and who we think could be the next big thing when it comes to having a breakout tournament, whether it's winning the whole thing or just doing really well. So we're excited to talk about Ultimate characters again. So check us out, patreon.com/TweakTalks. Tweak does VOD reviews on there of his recent sets, which is good for him and good for you guys. There's a lot of great content on there for real. So shout outs to that. And I think with that, we can kind of get started. I think, you know, back to answering the question, I am good. I was very busy this weekend, so I couldn't go to Mash Harder. It's a tournament series that I do go to and cast like when I can, when I'm free those weekends. Shout outs to Cass, who's the TO there, who always invites me and keeps me involved with the local community, which I really, really appreciate. I just couldn't make it this weekend, which sucks because it might have been the most exciting Mash Harder that has ever happened. And if you hadn't heard the results, the big news is that the winner of this tournament is currently ranked, I believe, number 5 in New England. And it is a, I think, 16 or 15-year-old kid called Brujo, who was a solo King K. Rool main. Nasty at doubles with K. Rool, by the way. Absolutely disgusting at doubles. He's also picked up Kazuya recently. And at Mash Harder, he won the tournament, right? Beating great players such as Leviathan, aka Sharp, Just Blue, great Steve player from New England, and also Zomba twice in Grands with a combination of K. Rool and Kazuya, which is just ridiculous to me. Like, that's just insanity. And it was funny, actually. I was out. I couldn't be at the tournament, so I was out doing what I needed to do. But I tuned in towards the end of the tournament. I was like, this can't be real. So I started texting Gavin. And he was like, I've been watching the whole time, and I am very impressed with this K. Rool, which he does not. You know the lifestyle stuff, chat. He does not give away compliments easily to people who play heavy characters. So I'm very excited to hear your thoughts, Gavin, on his K rule specifically, and then we can talk about his Kazuya as well, and just his run. Like, looking at his bracket, the way he mixed in two characters who are so weird and different, like he just did an amazing job. So I don't know what you saw in the K roll. I want to hear your thoughts on that.
Hold. Yeah. Before we get into that, we do want to shout out the Throne merch shop, of course. I mean, we've been working day in, day night. Especially me and Haz have been very, very busy planning for this event. And we just ended the voting phase, if you guys don't know. So we raised a ton of money in the shop, but we would like to keep the momentum going. We have a ton of great merch for you guys in the shop. There's like amazing, I mean, B, Flo, Keith, they did an amazing job creating the merch, and the theme is really cool. It's a bunch of different flowers and stuff like that, themed with the event. And there's also Tweak Talks merch, Lights Out merch as well. So make sure you guys check that out. The shop is still open. We'll be open all the way to the end of the event. And we always appreciate your love and support.
Yep, and that's the Throne 2 on start.gg, and we intentionally put a lot of fall theme merch into the shop as well. We know it's about that time of the year, so you can get cozy with some long sleeves, some nice hoodies, and some joggers, all that good stuff. Again, yeah, nice job, Charles, calling that one out. We have been working hard on the Throne.
Now back we can talk about K-Rule.
All right, K-Rule 2024, almost 2025. I can't believe we're here talking about it, and it wasn't like... I said this to you, Gavin. I'm like, I could see Brujo like taking a set. Like, that doesn't surprise me that much. Like, it does, obviously, just because of, you know, the characters he plays in Zomba. Like, winning the whole tournament over Zomba is, we always talk about the value of not just taking a set, but winning the tournament, right? Like, there's a huge difference in those two things. So, Gavin, I cannot wait to hear your thoughts on this, because I know you're a fan of the character. So,
and has played the character in tournament as well. I mean, not a lot, but like
a little,
you know,
not a little bit.
But I also feel like whenever you do get into a character and play a character, you don't mess around. It's not like, oh, okay, let me just copy paste my funnies into it. You look into the tech, you do deep dives. So, I mean, you're definitely one of the players, or even just people out there that are probably really knowledgeable about K-Rule.
Yeah. So first off, as we were like, also Haz, that intro was fantastic. Thank you. First off, I think that is the best win K-Rule has ever gotten.
I would like to think so.
Top 15 player, realistically, we know it's probably a little higher than that.
Offline, yes. I mean, the only thing I could think of is maybe if Kirby Kid did something online or offline, probably more so online. Yeah. But offline, this is a crazy win against like Zomba, a player that's ranked so high, and the character Rob too. Like, when I think Rob versus K-Rule, like, when I think Rob versus K-Rule, that's exactly what I think. Like, just screaming K-Rule, just not being able to do anything, right?
There's a lot of spots that are checkmate scenarios, especially because Rob can get to the side of K-Rule during K-Rule's like deep recoveries, and K-Rule can't do it. Like, there's Zomba played it really well sometimes, where he'd get K-Rule far enough, set up like a runoff B reverse gyro, double jump back air that like K-Rule, because you know he's pretty protected from above, but he has nothing going on the side. And then regardless, Zomba was just down airing him anyway, because it's active for like 8 or 9 frames and like is gonna hit K-Rule's recovery. But yeah, I think it was fantastic gameplay. But yeah, I think that was the best K-Rule win ever. And I don't know, he was very efficient and also really cashing out on like crazy reads too at the time, which is, I think, a good way to play heavies in general. But it was just very calculated. Like, if you watch his Kazuya too, like, he's sometimes he'd be very stationary, really focusing on getting parries, like very efficient.
It's,
I think, if you're Zomba, the big thing he had to worry about is the returning crown. Every time, like, essentially, if you're in a rough spot, you never want to be in between the character's like projectile slash item and the character. When I played Junior growing up, that was always my advice to players. Like, the Mecha Koopa would be behind them and I would be in front of them, and they would like scrap it out. It's just not going to work out a lot of the time. There's just too much going on. Same thing with Gyro, right? Like, the same character that Zomba's playing. If you're fighting Rob up close and there's a Gyro behind you, you're so screwed. So a lot of the time with K-Rule, Zomba was so locked in on like grabbing K-Rule in the animation. And if you have the frames to do it, you definitely should do it. But there was a lot of times where he was like shooting his own projectile while the crowds were turning and like stuff like that. And I think it would be a lot harder. It would have been a lot harder for Brujo to get certain kills if Zomba just was not getting hit by the returning crown, which is very, very doable. But yeah, Brujo played fantastic. Like the MVP was down tilt because he was getting early kills with down tilt. He was getting like ledge trap. He got a berry in the corner. He got tech chases into it. He caught on to Zomba's patterns when it comes to teching and super cashed out. It's just fantastic gameplay. I think K-Roll is super cool. He's such a weird mix of projectiles and like very efficient like kill confirms and like early kills while also having general like fundy stuff. He's such a fun character. Like Brujo was getting the like, angled up F tilts. He was getting the turnaround quick up tilts when he's like in a scrappy scenario. Some of that like crown stuff, he would like throw it in the wrong direction so it has like some protection when it comes back. He would like jump off stage and throw the crown towards the stage so like it would come back during the edge guard scenario. I don't know. That character is awesome. He just is. But there's clearly a lot of scenarios where he has no options versus Rob. So it's even more impressive that he was able to win.
Yeah. I was going to say, typically Rob, like, against other heavies, like, I think, without thinking about it too much, he just beats every other heavy. Like, he's a gatekeeper for them, you know, and he is the best of them, right? Like, that's just kind of how it works with him. So, when I think of how, or, like, why this win is so impressive, it's not just beating Zomba, but, like, he also had to beat a lot of in-region rivals that have been tough, obviously, going through, you know, talk about Sharp. Sharp plays Cloud, Sharp plays Joker, Sharp plays, like, everyone, basically. But their set, it was all Cloud, except for Game 4. But Brujo went K-Rool in game one and lost to the Cloud, went K-Rool again game two and beat the Cloud, then he switched to Kazuya game three and beat the Cloud, and then I think Leviathan had reached a breaking point and switched to Lucas for some reason. I don't know if that's a secret counter pick or if he was just, tilted and picked Lucas for whatever reason, but again, that was Kazuya. And I think we talk about this all the time in Ultimate, where people, you know, you have secondaries but are afraid to go them or mix them in, or like, what's the rhyme or reason? Like, why do you go them? And when it's someone like K-Rool and Kazuya, I really am baffled by how you make those decisions. Like, I guess if one gets washed, that's an easy choice. Or if one, but he's switching when he's winning too. Like, I win a game with K-Rool and I switch to Kazuya. Like, it could be obviously stage dependent. There's a lot that mixes in there to those decisions. And so he had to beat Leviathan in a game four. Nuggets, a classic. If you guys know New England at all, Nuggets is a great Peach Daisy player, I should say. Game five, going game four against Just Blue, and again, mixing in K-Rool and Kazuya and switching off or not switching off on wins and losses. And then also, Brujo had gotten 3-0'd by Zomba in winners, and then it was two game fives back-to-back in grands, and he was able to win it. And it was ultimately K-Rool. And I think down tilt, definitely Gavin, but it was just like a combination of his movement too. Like, he did this one thing that I had to rewind it a couple times. He did fair and then instant turnaround dash attack. And it was so fast, especially for someone like K-Rool, where it's like, oh, he's a big character, like whatever. But holy shit, like he just moved and he was kind of fearless, I think, was a big advantage he had. And he was able to cash in on conversions too. And that's with the Kazuya, like he did slide off the platform, into neutral air and getting everything that he needs to do in order to get all of his combos. He hit a lot of rage arts too, a lot of rage drives, which was really, really crucial in some of those game fives. So he played like super clutch, and those are like on the other side of it. You could talk about how K-Rool's a low tier, but he's fucking scary to play against when you play against someone who's good with him. Like, it can just get really scary. Like you said, he combos you off the crown, he gets a slight charge with up smash, you're dead at like 60. You know what I'm saying? Like, it can be scary if someone's
the charge was very deliberate. A lot of the time he was charging so much more than I thought the character could in some spots, which is really cool. And also I really like K-Rool's like flow chart in general. Like the forward throw dash attack does like mad damage. Then like, you know, you're throwing the crown and you do like the jab check. His jab is incredible because the jab one is so big. Like he extends his whole, like jab ones are very interesting in Ultimate because there'll be a sword character that doesn't use their sword or they will use their sword. And there are certain jab ones that are very, very good. And K-Rool's is actually pretty good. Like that, I'm so glad that just showed up on the show. Because that was specific Steve counterplay. The cannonball trading with the minecart And then because of the weird trade, it sends towards K-Rool, and he kill confirmed the cannonball into up air because of minecart. Like, that's so bizarre.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I love the character. I really like the flowchart, you know, combined with like just hitting hard, occasional projectiles, small things like up tilt and jab, angling the F tilt, just raw damage from his throws is really, really good too, whether it's a combo or not. I don't know. That character's awesome. He just is.
The facts.
There's been a lot of K-Rool success and upsets, and I feel like if you've ever picked the character like as a very, very good player, you'll notice that some of K-Rool's moves are like very, very good. He kind of reminds me of like Incineroar in the sense that there are some moves that the character has that's just like, what in the world? How is this on this character? It's obviously because they're not very good, but it's like, how do they have these moves and they're not that good? You know, like that, the K-Rool's Nair is ridiculous. K-Rool's forward air is very good.
Buffed forward air.
It was buffed over
time. It was always fine, but it's just really good now.
Yeah, it's really good now. And then even some of the grounded moves, like Gavin mentioned the jab, the F tilt. I really like the up tilt. It hits really high as well, so you don't have to fully commit to a jump when they're like landing near you.
I think it's frame 6.
That move is crazy. I'm glad that I saw
6 is fast. Brujo, I feel like it's more of like a 7 or 8, but I mean, if it's maybe 6, holy crap.
It's also good for
it's it. Frame 5. It's frame yeah. 5.
Even
frame
better five. Than I thought. Oh my
crazy
God.
Move. You can use it a lot of times on reaction, like and then because of that, if like you are doing some anti-airs with like up tilt, it opens up people to air dodging. And Gavin already mentioned down tilt. That move is very, very good. It's weird because like I would watch K-Rool's a lot and they wouldn't use down tilt. And now Brujo's like, hey, because it's like one of the best berries in the game. Like it's not like a inkling roller or something
you,
like that.
No, you die if you get hit by it.
Yeah, you pretty much die if you get hit by it. But or like a Banjo Berry or a Rob. Like it's a crazy berry. So I don't know. K-Rool just has a lot of good moves. It's just he doesn't have he also has a lot of bad moves, and his hurtbox sucks and his air dodge sucks and his drift.
Jab
sucks.
Is frame 4, and I think that's fantastic. Just random throwing that there.
Jab being
for a jab that's like you're actually like extending your whole like. Usually the jab 2 or 3 is where the jab gets bigger in range, but K-Rool's max range, I feel like with the jab, starts at jab 1. Jab 3 is a little bigger, but it's, I don't know, jabs are interesting in that way.
It's a good check move. I feel like a lot of K-Rool's
combined with
like
crown,
just jab 1 check. Yeah.
Also, I like those awkward percents at 0 where you want to get like forward air grab with K-Rool or something. Like Brujo would get like, you know, like any K-Rool knows to do this, but it's still cool to see. Where you get like the back hit of like Nair and like you just buffer like turn around up tilt like for damage, like I don't know, his flowchart is so cool.
Dude, the Steve counterplay was very fun to watch because K-Rool back air will demolish blocks. Like he has I don't think K-Rool has any problem destroying blocks just in terms of sheer damage output and stuff like that. And again, Gavin mentioned the crown usage when recovering. I thought he did an amazing job of using it in juggle scenarios too. And you're almost setting up like a return 45 degree angle down boomerang where you confirm up air into it. And K-Rool up air after it got buffed is like an insane move. It's very powerful.
Yeah.
Cannonball and counterplay. Like the character specific counterplay was so cool to watch.
With the crown, bro, with the crown to you, like not only do you get the hitbox and all that, but the armor you get on it is crazy. You always see K-Rool using that armor and activate, like just to position a little better on how they have to up B, which I think is obviously super important when you're vulnerable off stage like that. I mean, think of the characters he had to play against, Rob and Steve. Like Jesus, you need everything you can to get out of those bad situations. And I think again, it's such a good situation to be in when you have two mains like Kazuya and Steve, where I feel like there's a learning curve to playing against those two characters, right? Like we talk about tricks and like all that stuff all the time. So Brujo goes K-Rool, hits you with all his tricks, wins game 1. Game 2, you figure out all the tricks, he win. All right, I'm going Kazuya and I get FD. Oh shit, okay, well there goes that game. But now you have to figure out his Kazuya's tricks, and then once you get used to those, you can go back to K-Rool. It's like, where are the layers here? Like I love that idea of like, and I think that's one of the problems with solo maining a low tier, is that you only have that one character in the layers to it, which is limited when it comes to a low tier. But when you throw in a fucking beast like Kazuya to support the K roll, right? I think that's like, and then you have to figure out the Kazuya's layers and what does he do and what does he look for? And his Kazuya played super sharp. Like, he needed both his characters to be playing well that weekend to win that tournament, which is the life of a dual main, especially when I would call his main his K roll still, obviously. So when you main a low tier and you have like a top or a high tier secondary, whatever you want to call Kazuya, they both have to be playing on point for this to happen, especially if Zamba's in the building. Like, you just have to.
Yeah. I also think K roll like has such a nice win condition in down air two frame because it is consistent. And when it comes to like that area of moves, you will get it reliably if you play well. Along with we didn't see it much that tournament or anything, but I am a big fan of K-Roll's ledge slip game as well, just with the activity of his moves, especially neutral air, obviously, and he has a counter.
And he has an armored aerial, which like destroys sword character up B's because things like Lucina up B and stuff like that, they are pretty good at snapping, but the reason why they're really good is they're protected by a hitbox. It's very quick. There's a bit of intangibility in the beginning of it. Same thing with like Cloud, which obviously isn't as good as Lucina, but just the Roy, right? These sword recoveries, K Rool destroys that. Just ledge slip or runoff Nair can really cover those areas. And I believe K Rool is the only character in the game with an armored aerial. There are Palutena like aerials where like back air, where it's not armor, but you know what I'm talking about, like super armor. You take the damage.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's the only character in the game with armored aerials specifically. Like, there's special moves and stuff like that with armor and all that other special mechanics, but I believe he was the first character in Smash history to have an armored aerial. Obviously, there's limitations to it because of the belly armor and stuff like that, but if he's not the only one, he's definitely one of the few ones.
And it's very rare, yeah.
Yeah, and just the combination too, because like you guys mentioned before, down smash is so degenerate. But
dude,
it's
not down smash?
But the hurtbox shift is crazy. The hurtbox shift is crazy. You do have the belly armor. Yep, you do have the belly armor as well. The crown.
That move is not good.
Well, sometimes you just got to rip it, bro.
I can't give it up.
Yeah,
I guess.
Saying with the layers, though, bro, it got him that game.
But Rising Dare is like, you just, in those spots, if you're reading someone like spot dodging you or something, like just Rising Dare.
Right, it's up smash or something.
There is like a good win condition, not even just for the two frame. Like, it always kills. It always confirms.
And Dare also has the armor, right? I think Dare has the armor.
Yeah.
And then even I want to mention
platforms and stuff.
Up air usage. So I love that you guys mentioned down tilt because I think early Ultimate K Rools tried to make down tilt work, but we're seeing more, you know, on tech chases and stuff like that, just really cashing out with a move like that. And then on top of that, we even saw earlier he used up air to two frame Steve. Flying to the ledge and just like ledge drop, double jump up air. Also saw him use the up air to get back onto stage and it kind of like auto canceled and he like up aired onto the stage and shielded. I've never seen that before. So I think up air is one of the more unique aerials. I think K-Roll in general has some of the more unique moves in Smash Brothers, which is like what makes him exciting to watch, right? You get to see a lot of unique interactions. So seeing, like just really appreciating those things, I wanted to call those out.
Yeah,
because even right there, that up air into like fast fall into the platform shield, like that was quick.
Yeah, it makes up for like the weird mechanic of up air being laggy or whatever, which is nice. And it's also tied for his fastest aerial with neutral air. They're both frame 7. So,
wow, that's quick.
Yeah, he has just really good moves, like Marcus was saying. I don't even know what else to say other than like he's just a fun character. Once you put in enough time with him, like the flow, kind of like Donkey Kong, I know it sounds corny because they're from the same franchise, but when you really deep dive for those characters, their flowchart is so cool. Like, you have your crazy scenarios if everything works out perfectly. You have, you know, just basic things you can rely on for the win. Like, I think a lot of the time, like, heavy characters get, like, the rep of, like, being kind of, like, degenerate and, like, not very difficult to play and, like low floor or, like, low floor and low ceiling, like, kind of that kind of thing. But I really think a lot of the time it does, like, require, like, a strange, like, amount of, like, I don't know, like, a lot of it's very deliberate, really cool flowchart, like, That's why, like, the lifestyle thing, as much of a joke as it is, like, I'm so serious about it. Like, it really is, like, a unique thing, and it feels really, really nice to pull off well. Like, I don't know. I love characters like that. Like, I like DDD a lot. I like K. Rool. I love Donkey Kong. Like, you either get it or you don't. And Brujo clearly gets it. Brujo clearly gets it.
Young kid too. I mean, he's number five in New England. That's already, to me, like, a huge accomplishment at such a young age.
And such a strong region as well.
Absolutely. And I do want to shout out my region, because I am proud, because, like I said, I was busy that night, so I couldn't really watch live aside from looking at my phone. But I went back and I watched the highlights. And shout outs to Soupy, Weimer, and Gerd are all guys I've casted with and have known for a while. And I'm proud to say they did a good job on commentary. It sucks when you hear about a big upset in a small regional, and then you go back to watch the VODs and the commentary's trash or stupid jokes or dumb bullshit. So I'm really happy that when I went back and listened, they did a really good job talking about the match and talking about how they set up storylines. They talk about how it's the kid from New England trying to make this big upset against number 14 in the world, which they brought up a lot. So I'm just proud of those guys for delivering, because you never know when you're going to get a hot set, when you're going to get that day. Mm-hmm. And if you're fucking around on commentary, it's a bad look for you. It just sucks. It kind of sours everything. So I'm really happy those guys delivered. And then to cast the TO as well for picking up and running with Mash Harder as a series. It's been our Boston regional for a while. It's a 10th iteration, and that's why we do it, so that we can let our local kids come through, play, get opportunities, and do really well. So I'm proud of 2 weeks in a row. I'm very proud of New England. So I love it. I love it.
I don't know if I've ever heard you. You're kind of like Gavin in the sense. You're like Gavin for commentators. Oh, like, God. I don't know if I've ever heard you say that you've enjoyed someone's commentary. Now that I think about
okay.
it.
Yeah, okay, I'm a hater, 100%.
Never compliments my commentary.
Charles, you're a hater. I always compliment your commentary.
Okay, I'm kidding.
All the time. I think you're a great caster, but I realize that I agree, Marcus. I am a little...
I didn't realize it until you said it. I was like...
This sounds weird. Yeah, I saw you
react. He's a little harsh. He's a little harsh.
But I think that's feedback that I've heard and that I'm trying to do better with. So when I hear it, I want to call it out instead of just... Because when it's good, I'm just like, that was cool. And I just enjoy it and move on with life. I don't say anything. So I'm like, I need to do the saying it part a little bit more, because there is good casting out there, obviously. And I do enjoy listening to commentary and all that good stuff when it's good. But I also think I'm a hater, and that there's a lot of casting that I truly despise and that I mute all the time. So yeah, it is what it is. And I think I'm far from alone in that, and it is what it is. So
I think most people are like that, though. It's much easier to be vocal about something you did not like rather than something that you just kind of like enjoyed and be like, oh, that was it. Cool.
Sure. Yeah. On, right? It's kind of like you got to get it off your chest. Like, I don't feel the need to do that when I'm like happy, you know, when I'm like, oh, right, that was great commentary. I don't like, you know, feel the need to shout it from the rooftop. But to Marcus's point, I do think it's very beneficial and good when people do a good job to say it. And I actually casted with Weimer last weekend and I felt bad. I casted with Weimer last weekend at Wavelength. And after he did the thing where he's like, hey, do you have any advice? And I was like, I actually don't. Like, and I'm like, I'm not just saying that to like, that was just good. Like, that was just solid casting. I had a good time. He took notes ahead of time. Like, he did everything that I like. He talked about the matches. What a fucking concept, right? Like, he cared and was locked in. Like, Jesus Christ. Like, just the basics were, I shouldn't say basics. The fundamentals were there. And I think if you get those fundamentals down, it goes a long way. And it sounds so stupid. It sounds so stupid. And it sounds so obvious. But some people get on commentary and just want to tell their little fucking jokes and move on with their life. Like, they're not there because they care about the matches or the region or that kid who's making the biggest upset of his life right now. They just want to sit there and make their silly jokes they wrote down like 2 weeks ago. And like, oh, I'm going to say these at this tournament. Fuck, man. Like, and it just made the whole experience like, I'm proud of this region, dude. Like, I am. I really am. The casters, TOs, everything was firing. And it gave me those old vibes of like when I was on the commentary grind in Smash 4. And I watched Mars and I watched Light and I casted them. And I came up as a caster through that because like it was happening. It was happening in my region and I cared. So I got to give people props when to Marcus's point, I got to give people props when they do well as hating on them when they do poorly. So I'm very happy to say I'm not surprised either with those. As I looked it up after, I was like, I'm pretty sure I know who that was because I've heard their voices, obviously, just from watching regionals. And I wasn't surprised at all once I saw who was casting. They did a very good job. So I'm very happy about that. So nice job. Everybody involved in that tournament.
Now, ignore all of that advice. And when you get up there to commentate, you're just farming clips. So you're looking for that big moment.
Right.
You tell like the crazy joke. Then it goes viral and then you get a bunch of followers. That's the name of the game.
Right? Well, Charles, you know, as a Smashy Award winner myself, let me tell you, I got some wise words of wisdom about that's the thing. Okay.
Smashy like Award winner says.
I know that kills Marcus and Gavin every week, which is very funny. I also try to bring it up intentionally every week. But for real, that moment that I won, it was actually really good commentary. Like, and the reason why it was good, it wasn't like I sat there and I thought about what to say. It's because the clip, if you know the clip, it's when Gavin clips Spargo at Terra. And I think I've talked about this before, so I'll keep it quick. But it's because I knew and I've seen him practice those combos and practice all that shit and hit it online and do all that stuff. And all, I knew all the time that he put into making that happen. And it just so lined up that that's how he closed out a game 5 set against Spargo. So I naturally knew what to say and what to do just because I have been there and I care. And what a thing to do, right? Like, they all knew what to do, similar to the New England event. They all knew what to do and what to say because they've seen Brujo play for months or years or whatever. And they were genuinely excited for him. And it showed through in their commentary. So that's why when people ask me, how do I get better at commentary? I always say, just play the fucking game, man. Like, play the game, be connected with your local scene, care about the people. Don't get up there to tell your little jokes. Jokes will come. If you're funny, if you're a funny person, great. They'll come naturally. Like, they will. You don't need to, like, do all this pre-prep and stuff. I'm sorry. We're talking about commentary again. I don't think we should.
No, I think it's fine. Yeah. I think it's good when the episode branches off and stuff.
I get all fired up about it just because I care, though.
I think everything you said is fantastic.
Well, being a player first, or like starting as a player, I think for all or pretty much all the top level Smash commentators, they were player at some point. And it's when you commentate, it's a lot more different when you were out on the battlefield and you know how much effort it takes to get so good and stuff like that. And for me, when I was a player and playing and then switch over to commentary, it's so much easier to appreciate what the players are doing is if you at least gone through a fraction of what they are going through, right? So in my opinion, like, it's a much bigger deal than people make it out to be.
Yeah, and you can't, people can tell when you're not plugged in, like when you don't, like, you know what
and
I
you
mean
don't
like
give
people,
a fuck,
they can
yeah.
tell
it's
you can't
so easy.
You can because you can fake it, like in a certain way you can if you make up for it other ways, like if you are genuinely excited, people like that. But, like, if you don't know what the fuck you're talking about, it's just weird. Like, I don't know. There's, like, a balance. Like, you gotta be locked in. I don't know. I think, and always what I say is, like, just be genuine and be yourself and then take feedback as it comes in. And if you care about the game and you care about the players and you're not there for, like, ulterior motives of, like, I care about other things more than what's happening on the screen right in front of me, that's not great, is what I would say. So, that's my advice.
I'll say this. The worst form of commentary in terms of the gameplay is commentators who are essentially reading a picture book to the viewers, who are just saying, oh, they got hit to the right blast zone at 45%. That is bad casting. It just is. You might as well be reading a picture book to the viewers. You're not actually saying anything that's happening. Like, am I wrong?
So you're not a fan of nice.
Like, if you're like, oh, that was the first stock. This player's at 70%. Oh, they just got sent to the left. Are we even doing anything at that point?
It's almost like they take the term play by play literal, when the idea of play by play is that you build it up into moments over the set. It's not about like, oh, he got dash attack. Now he's at 50. It's like, so what? Okay. Dash attack, you know, that's gonna, we've seen him hit that, you know what I mean, like what's like the deal here, you know, like there's always a deeper message, like anyone can look at the screen and start talking about what they're seeing happening.
Yeah, I get like that
here, yeah,
there's like, oh, you want to bring in new players and they want to know what's happening, but that isn't helping anyone, even someone who's never played Smash in their life, because they can see the percentages just like everyone else.
It's one thing about Smash that's very, very, very well designed is how intuitive it is, just by seeing what's happening. I agree with you that,
like,
no one should be. Yeah.
That's, do you think a new or old player cares if they got sent to the right or left? No.
Yeah. Like, you're kind of saying, like, stating the obvious is bad, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like,
it's too obvious. Yeah.
You might as well just not say anything at all. Like I said, it is literally like reading a picture book to the viewers. What's the point?
Yeah.
You might as well not be saying anything at all. Like, that's something that really upsets me, because I can see the goal of, like, you want to be broadcasting towards anyone possible, but it like something gets lost because of that idea. Like they end up doing like just having a nothing burger commentary because of that.
Nothing burger.
Either that or they just don't know what's going on. And like to be brutally honest.
Yeah.
And they're just like kind of like filling the dead air with like things like, oh, that's the second stock, or that's the percentage, or that's the direction they got sent in. Like there's a lot of red flags there if someone is doing that.
Right. They can't talk like the strategy of it, right? Like, they're just saying
if you can't go like one layer deeper, then that's really scary because anyone could read the numbers to the viewer.
And I'll say too, like there's like an art to it too, like where you need to kind of go through the process of learning what to say and how to say it. I think it's a part of why everyone likes top player commentary, because you guys obviously know what the fuck you're talking about. Like it'd be weird if you didn't know what's happening or what these players are thinking or what they're trying to achieve, right? So I think that's why, well, first off, people are biased towards you because they like top players because you guys are good at the game and people respect that. So you have that like kind of margin of error to work with, whereas random fucking person who hops up there to talk, it's like you got to earn the respect, which does take time and effort, and it's probably not going to happen immediately. Like it definitely takes time. But to your point, I think that it's a craft and you need to, it took me, I don't know how, and Charles, I'm sure similarly, it took years to figure out how to hit a stride in commentary. It takes a really long time. And a lot of it is, and we've said this before, is identifying what is good feedback for commentary and listening to it. Usually it's trusted people who will not just be yes men and be like, dude, chat has no idea. 80 people in chat said you fucking sucked at commentary, but they have no idea what they're talking about. Don't listen to them. It's like, well, wait, maybe they have a, maybe there's something here. Like if a ton of people are saying it, maybe something's happening. Because there's so many people, it's too black and white where it's like, oh, ignore chat no matter what, or only listen to, like, chat is always right. It's like, well, chat, I love chat. Chat is chat. Chat is sometimes right and chat is sometimes wrong. They are an entity of many different people spamming, sometimes just for memes. Like you need to be able to filter out that stuff and figure out, like, you got to be one with chat. That's my recommendation. You got to be one with chat. I always say that. You got to know where their mind's at. Like I see people type the most random shit about top players. Like, oh, great. I'm glad Zomba's losing right now. I'm like, okay, awesome. Like, so cool that you just type that for no fucking reason. Like, and yeah, being toxic or just like,
that was
trolling.
Me.
Like they don't even, that was you and Paris's burner account.
Burners.
Jared Burner. But it's like, some chatters are actually going to help you, but most of them are just going to type shit to get laughs from other chatters or to make themselves laugh or screenshot themselves talking shit to you because they can. So you need to filter through. Or maybe if you tried a joke and it sucked and everyone chat is like, that joke sucked, it's like, okay, maybe we work on that joke, you know? But I would say one thing is that the barrier entry in Smash commentary is you show up. That's all you got to do. So it's not like you need to get hired for a job to get started. Like you just go. Yeah. And that's what I love, again, bringing it back to a more positive angle here. These guys just show up to cast the regionals because they love to. And that's what I love about it. And show
the best part. It's always the best part.
Absolutely. And they all play, as far as I know. They are all players at the very least. They try to play, which is, you know, a good thing to me. You don't have to be like the best player in the world, but you have to be able to. How are you going to talk about something in an intelligent manner if you've never experienced it before in your life? And I'm not saying like last stock, last hit of grands, but you're in your pool and it's 2-2 to make it out of pools and your last stock, last hit. Hey, at least you can relate it in some way there. You know what I mean? Like, who are you going to trust? Like you go to a car dealership and this guy's like, yeah, I have one of these cars. I love it. And here's why, versus some guy who's like, yeah, I've never seen this one before, but it looks cool. Let's drive it. Like, what the fuck? Like, yeah, I guess that can work, but like, come on now. I don't know.
Yeah. To clarify, I don't think I would be a good caster or anything like that. I know for a fact, though, that what I was talking about earlier is not the way. It's just not.
Like, Marcus, actually, one of my favorite Marcus moments was when we came back from the pandemic. Not even like 100%. It was a Invitational. And Marcus got hired as a caster. And we got on the couch and we were casting for, I don't know, an hour or two. And afterwards, Marcus goes, dude, that shit is hard, actually. I was like, whoa. I was like,
it's very
really?
Exhausting.
I was like, It takes a lot out of you, and that's the hard part about trying to be a caster and a competitor, because you're going to probably tank in one of them. Like, you might get lucky and have a good weekend on both, but you're probably going to... It's so hard to try to cast after you're pissed off at the game. It really is. Like, you lose to some bullshit, and then it's like, all right, go talk about how much you love this thing. It's like, oh, God damn.
Hell nah.
Well, I don't know. The problem that I was having was I was like quad commentary, so I was like, I didn't know when to jump in, which was kind of tough for me. But I think the biggest thing was, and it's really weird saying this, is that it felt like things were happening too fast. Like, I can play the game, and I think it's moving in slow motion. But I was watching it, and, like, I would want to say something about a moment, and then the moment was over. And I was like, bro, what happened? Like, now I got it, because something else happened. So now I'm like, what do I even talk about? Like, when do I speak? Like, especially if somebody's already talking about the moment I wanted to talk about, I'm just like, this is too, I'd help.
Is it worth backtracking? Like, do you move on? Is it worth talking about what happened? Like,
what's going on the screen would be my question to you. Is it worth still analyzing that moment? Is it going to happen again?
Yeah.
I think my ADHD helps me a lot with that, to be honest with you. Like, I'm so able to lock into something, like, very specifically, but then just let it go. I'm like TK says it, or EE says it. I'm like, all right, cool. Then I move on. Like, all right, life's good. Like, they covered it. All set. We go.
Yeah, just takes I'm like a lot the opposite. Of energy.
Like, I'll talk it about is. One thing for 10 minutes.
Instead. Yep, like, that's where I'm at. I'm locked in. I'm like, bro, did you see that interaction? Like,
yo, the that thought process grab?
Behind it. And, like, this keeps happening. But then, like, if it's trying to make a moment exciting, I'm like, dang, that was crazy.
Well, where you guys as high to top level players would be good at is picking up, and something I think that Charles and I do well as well, is picking up on habits or trends throughout a match. And, like,
how I got you. I got you.
Yeah, I will lock in.
Right.
That's the 16th time he's done let's jump after this person's been in the spike. I'm locked in.
Yeah. But, I think one of my all-time favorite commentary moments was Mars against Leia at was a Smash World Tour, where I continually pointed out, I think it was Leia's neutral get-ups, over and over and over and over and over.
He game five last him. Hit.
Game five last hit. Like, he's going to kill him for this. And then he did. And I was like, there you go. Like, that's how I just...
The runoff stage, flip kick back on.
But that's... Yeah, and a part of it is that I know Mars. I know how he plays. Obviously, I play against him. You know, like, I've played against him many times throughout my life, so I know what he's looking for. And you can't, how the fuck would you know to look for that if you didn't either exclusively study his matches all the time? So if you're not a ZSS main, you're probably not just sitting there studying Mars all day, or if you play against him. And the only reason I knew to look for that shit and to make it exciting and talk about it is because I've been there before. I'm not saying, well, I did make him look foolish once, but I'm not saying, like, I beat Mars all the time, so I know how to cast the sets. I'm saying I played against him, so I know how he plays, so I can speak to it firsthand, right? Didn't think I'd get a Mars looking foolish and a Smashy reference in one topic, did you? A
miserable episode. One thing that she said has that I think was really important for not just commentators, but for players. You said it took you and Charles years to get to that point. And I still go to my locals, so I talk to a lot of people who are trying to improve at the game, and they just want the win so bad. So
right now,
I'm like, yep, I want to be good. They're like, bro, like, I've been working so hard. I've been playing. I've been at this for 9 months, and I'm like, 9 months, dude. Gavin's different, but it took me to win like a decent sized tournament. Like, I think it was like 9 years or something like that. Gavin just showed up and won. Like, we can. But for like most for most people, like. I think the younger you start, the more likely you are to win the younger you are. I don't, it's just probably something with like learning when you're like a 12-year-old, 13-year-old. But for people who start when they're like 18 or something like that, like, it's probably going to take you a lot longer to win something. And it's just so interesting to me that people will want to fast track a win. Or even if they get like one win, they'll get like one win and then they won't win again for a long time. And what made what you said stand out is that it's the consistency about it, right? Like, you're going to consistently be at a good level of commentary. And there are going to be some days where you have bad days, but I cannot stand Haz. I'm sorry. He posted something in the chat. Anyway, I'm not going to say what it was. Anyway, the consistency is the important part. And I think people who want to fast track their way to like winning skips that consistency. They just want to like immediately peak. And then they get upset when like they can't like reach their peak over and over again. And I don't know. I just think for what I'm essentially trying to say is for people who are like a year in, 2 years in, and they're still like struggling to get their break, like just keep working at it, because there are going to be people who feel like you, and 2 years in, they're going to stop. And then 3 years in, you might get your break. Like, it's just how it is. So, I don't know.
I think that's very shades of commentary, too, where casters, they do really well in their regionals, and they're like, all right, time for Genesis Top 8. My turn. You know, it's here. It's like, well, hold on now, Junior.
I think
I do, worse, but bro. I think, what's that?
I think commentary is worse because, like,
yeah,
as a player, you need the result. To get the result, it's very, very difficult, but you could be the best caster in the world, which is like hard to even say because it's a subjective thing or whatnot, but it sucks because it's the connections you have with TOs and all that other stuff too, right? So there's a ton of other factors that come in that might not matter if you're a good commentator or not, right? It's a lot of the times it's the people you know and stuff, and obviously it's a grind to get to that point, but yeah.
To be fair,
go ahead.
What Marcus said, I was winning pretty small stuff when I first showed up. The second good players started showing up, I was like, oh. I got woke up real quick. Like,
yeah.
When a good player showed up and, like, didn't, like, run up and fight me, I was like, no. Like, I just realized this has been my problem my whole life. Like, my first time losing a local in Smash 4 was because they just stopped fighting.
Hey,
I think I'm cooked.
Smat has won 80 majors. Yeah, man, I'm cooked, man. There are people.
I just realized I've lost the same way my whole life.
There are people who are going to play this game for years and years of their life, and they will never win a tournament.
Even come close.
Yep.
They won't break 3-2. You know. Yep.
And that's okay.
But, yeah, that's great.
It's fine. There are commentators who can commentate for years of their life, and they're fantastic. They may never commentate a super major top eight. Just happens, man.
There's not that many. It's
there's
reserved.
Not that many spots. Yeah, like,
competitive. Yeah, it's very competitive.
That's competition
well,
for you.
Like I said earlier, there's zero barrier to entry, but when you want getting those primetime slots is very difficult. Very, very difficult. Very competitive. Obviously, but I mean, we've seen new people come up through the ranks too and get their shot at casting a top eight. And what I'd say is, I think people view getting hired for a top eight as the end goal. I did it. Great. I got to do my Genesis. I got to do my big house or whatever. Cool. Nope. That's the start. That's the interview for the job. Now you got the job. Now you need to do well the job. Now you need to do it. So that's an opportunity. You didn't win shit. As far as I'm concerned,
yep.
Over, you got hired. You could just look like a fucking asshole over for 2 hours and everyone hates you. That could happen. And I swear, if you go back and you watch early VODs of me and Charles, I bet you think we suck because we probably did. And by probably, I mean, we definitely did. Especially
I don't
Charles.
Know, man. I was pretty like good. Pretty, sometimes I look like back at my Smash 4 commentary and I actually think it's better than my Ultimate commentary. That's just like,
ain't no way.
That's what I think.
Charles, you're really good. It's funny because I was, I was talking about that. I was talking about commentary recently. I'm like, you could cherry pick and find a bad clip of any caster out there. I was like, except for maybe Charles. I was like, maybe not Charles. Any like me for sure. For sure. If you wanted to, you could make any caster look stupid or bad.
I got a couple of bad ones, but
everyone does. Everyone does, right? Like
I know the bad ones.
Right. Exactly. And it happens. And no one's ever gonna be like this perfect whatever caster. But the point is when you get when you finally break through and get that top eight slot or whatever you've really wanted, that's not mission complete. That's mission start. That is, I better lock the fuck in because this is my opportunity where if I do well with this top eight block and prove I can do it, awesome. That can open more people want to see you. Great. Sometimes, though, people, they get to those spots and they don't do well. And we've seen it many times. I know I've gotten big opportunities and didn't do as well as I would like to with them. I can think of some that I regret still to this day that I wish I brought better heat to be honest with you. And I just didn't. For stupid reasons, like internally, and I was raging and throwing. And again, it sounds like playing. I was just like in my own head about it, and I just didn't cast as well as I would have liked to with a big audience on me. So, but you keep going, and it is what it is. And like I said, it's a grind. And I love the comparisons between playing and casting because same thing. You qualify and make a top eight at a tournament. Great. Now it's the hardest fucking part of the bracket, and everyone's watching. And are you here just to make a top eight, or are you here to win the whole damn thing, right? There's two, like you said, two very, very different things. Well, this episode went off the rails once again, but I think in a good
I'm a fan.
Way. All right, good. You subscribe to the Patreon? Come on. How much of a fan are you? Speaking of the Patreon, we are going to do some Patreon content. Gavin, take us out of here.
Yeah, thanks for watching, y'all. Also, there was a First Attack top 8 I watched as well. Lima won that tournament. I feel like there was one other like regional type thing I might have missed, but
Guildhaus Luis won.
Oh, there it is. Yeah.
Or Genesis Black, my bad.
Genesis Black, cool event. Genesis
Black at Guildhaus.
Cool event. Shout out to Rainflow, our TOs for Watch of Throne or Throne 2. Also do Genesis Black, and they killed it. I love watching the Guildhaus. I watched the Melee tournament as well. Aspat was there, who I haven't seen him play Melee in a couple years. So
I watched the Melee, yeah.
Yeah, I watched Melee and Ultimate at the Guildhaus. Always a good time. So shout out to Genesis Black and Rainflow.
Yeah. We're going to get some Patreon content. Once again, we do our usual stuff y'all are used to seeing. But I also do VOD review once in a while. So it's a bit more variety on the Patreon. But we're going to get into that. We're going to be talking about characters that have been doing unexpectedly well and characters that might do unexpectedly well in the future. Or I guess we're trying to expect it before it happens. Have a good one.